Well, as I said at the beginning, today we are celebrating. We're celebrating 200 years of married life. Andrew and Susan, Peter and Sue, Enid and James, and Jeffrey and Nancy. And sadly, Nancy can't be with us today. Nancy's not well, and so we do pray for her. But each of these couples have celebrated 50 years, their golden wedding, and we've marked that at various points during the year. But today they wanted to come together and to give thanks together. 50 years, some might say, you get less for murder. Well, it reminded me of another couple that I heard about. They were celebrating their 70th wedding anniversary, and it was a very special event, and a radio reporter was sent to cover the event because it was so special. But you can imagine, after 70 years, both of them, their faculties were failing, and the man was having difficulty hearing, but the reporter did his best to make the old man understand his questions. 70 years, said the reporter, it's a long time. Have you ever contemplated divorce? The old man thought about the question for a few moments, and then he replied, divorce? Never. Murder? Several times. Well, after 50 years, you may have felt like that sometimes, but I'm glad that none of you have taken that drastic step, that you are still with us today. But seriously, these couples are an example to us all. Whether we are married, have been married, are single, perhaps hoping that one day we will get married, their example of their love, their faithfulness, their commitment to one another should be an encouragement to us, a model that we can hold up. In a world where there is so much disunity and pain and suffering, to witness your lifelong commitment and your obvious love for one another is inspiring, to say the least. When Caroline and I got married, over 30 years ago now, we were given some wise words, which I think speak to us all today, whether we're married, whether we're celebrating many years of marriage, whether we're single, separated, divorced, it doesn't really matter. And what we were told was this: thank God for yesterday, praise him for today, trust in him for tomorrow. And these words have helped us, and hopefully will help you too. As we seek to love others, whether in marriage or not, looking back and giving thanks, praising God for the things of today, and trusting in him for the uncertainties of the future is so important. Well, that reading that Jeffrey just gave us from 1 Corinthians chapter 13 has a lot to say, doesn't it, about love. Love is at the heart of the reading. It's very profound, often read at weddings. Love, he says, is something that we should aspire to. He starts the reading by saying, I will show you the most excellent way, and then ends it, but the greatest of these is love. And between those two bookends, he unpacks something of what love is. But you know, even though this reading is used often at marriages, when Paul wrote this, he wasn't writing about marriage. It wasn't what he had in mind. If you look at the context, what you see is that it's in the middle of some chapters all about worship in church. Chapter 11 of 1 Corinthians, is about ordering worship and communion. Chapter 12 is about spiritual gifts and every member ministry. Then comes chapter 11 about love. And then in chapter 14, he talks about the importance of the gifts of prophecy and of tongues. So what Paul is saying here is that the kind of love that he's talking about is something that should be evident in the life of the church. I think it was really helpful that we had that poem from Peter and Sue about the importance of the church in their marriage and in community. And that's what Paul is saying here. But we can apply it in marriage, in friendships, in the Christian community, and in the wider world. Now, what Paul does here is he gives us that familiar list. What does he say? These are some of the things that love is. See how you do. Love is patient, kind, not envious, not boastful, not proud or rude, not self-seeking, not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs, always protects, always hopes, always perseveres. It's quite a list, isn't it? A tall order. And putting love into practice can be difficult. And I guess that you, after 50 years, have known times when love has come more easily than at others. So as we look back and we give thanks, we do so with an awareness that human love isn't easy, and often we will fail. But that's okay. We're human. We will all fail from time to time. But Paul tells us that these characteristics are ones that we aim for. And so when we fail, we pick ourselves up and we try again. One of the things that we were told when we were preparing for our own marriage many years ago is that love, as well as an emotion, is a decision. It's something that we have to decide to do. It's good to feel love. We all like to feel loved. We all like to feel that we love. But there are often times in marriage and in friendships and in church life when we simply don't feel it. Have you ever fallen out with someone and thought, oh, I just can't be bothered anymore. I'm not going to ring them. I can't just, you know, I'm just going to leave it there. They can make the first move. They can put it right. But you know, it's times like that when as Christians, we're called to decide to love. That's what love is all about. You couples have clearly done that with one another over the years and set an example for us all. But all of us need to do that in our marriages, in our friendships, in the church, in our work situations, and so on. But the good news about what Paul writes here is that this list, this tall order, isn't a list of rules that we kind of tick off as pass or fail, but rather he summarizes, I think, something of what we see in the life of Jesus. The things that he demonstrated that we should aspire to, and with his help, we can put into practice. We can't do it on our own. We can look at Jesus and think how wonderful he is, how perfect he is, but that doesn't change our behavior. And that's where God promises to help us, because he has left us the help of the Holy Spirit to bring those things to life when we find it more difficult. You couples, you four, all know Jesus as your Lord and Savior. You chose to follow him many years ago. And I'm sure that you have all had to ask him for your help during the years to enable your love to stay alive and to your marriages to keep working. And just as you have done that and probably will need to continue to do that in the next 50 years, so others of us will need to do that too. We need to ask Jesus by the power of his Spirit to help us to show what real love is and how we might live it in our world. Today, we're going to be asking Jesus to be with you through the rest of your married lives. We're asking him to be with you, to help you to love when it's good and when it's not so easy. But we're asking him too to help all of us in our friendships and relationships. So today we give thanks for the years that have gone past. We rejoice with you today in this day of celebration, and we trust in him for the future. We pray that you would know many more happy years of marriage together, that your love for each other would continue to grow deep, and that you would grow in your relationship with God, who enables you to love and to love others. Amen.